Hi, welcome back to the Pleasure Project with Dr. Jen Kennedy. In this episode, I talk to Christy Miller. It is such a fun one. We talk about body hair and all over the body, right? We're talking about head, we're talking about face, we're talking about chest, back, backside, front side, everything, men and women. So it's actually a pretty funny exchange and also thoughtful exchange, I will say. We are both therapists that see a lot of couples and definitely do some sex therapy as well. So this conversation comes up more often than you'd think. And we both acknowledge that this has been such a private conversation that we've had in our head for our whole lifetime. But now we're actually making it explicit and we're inviting you to join us. So hopefully you will enjoy this episode. So buckle up and we'd love to hear your feedback. All right, so welcome back. Today, my guest is Christy Miller. She's an LMFT. She is also the founder of Solutions in Parenting. She's a parent educator, parent consultant, certified mediator, and LMFT. She is also part of the clinical staff at Riviera Therapy. So full disclosure, she's part of our team. She offers distinctive form of parent education and psychotherapy coupled with hands-on training for parents, individuals, and their families. For more than two decades, Christy has been dedicated to a specialized form of parent education, which she developed and honors the and encourages parents to help them define and maintain their own personal styles. Christy authored a book that came out recently called Establishing Boundaries with Kids, A Parent's Guide to Negotiating Limits and Improving Parent-Child Interactions. Which was written for families, teachers, medical professionals, and mental health professionals to use as a reference guide for using positive parenting techniques with children. Now, all of that sounds like we're going to talk about parenting, but we're not at all. Christy is also a fun colleague, and we had a very funny offline conversation about today's topic. And I said, let's record this so everybody can be a part of the good time. So thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. And part of why I thought of you, first of all, is because you are fun, but also because you see a lot of couples and this stuff comes up in the conversations between couples and sometimes individuals.
Right. And, you know, I see a lot of couples, you're right. And, you know, just to kind of broaden the audience here, I also see a lot of adolescents mm-hmm. and hair, body hair, et cetera, is a really big topic, mm-hmm. you know, regardless of gender. It's kind of across the board. People are concerned about hair or interested in hair one way or another. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'd say throughout the lifespan, it comes up in different capacities. So today's topic, just in case you didn't read the headline, is body hair, all forms of hair. So we're gonna cover that today.
Yeah.
So let's start with the safer topics. Let's start with hair on the head.
Hair on the head.
Hair on the head that you think with. Oh, wait, no, that doesn't even narrow it down, does it? So it's interesting because a lot of guys end up having balding happen. Mm-hmm. And some women care a lot. Some partners don't care at all. Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting sort of the attachment that we as a society have to hair, long hair, short hair, whatever. Yeah. You know, and just as that sort of happens without consent, you know, people bald, men typically bald, you know, when they hit their 40s or so, 40s, 50s, and sort of how that plays into perceived attractiveness.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on that?
I do. I mean, it's funny because I had always thought that male pattern baldness came from hormones, particularly testosterone, and that testosterone in some way added to whether a man keeps his hair or not. And the more bald the man, the more testosterone he has. And I looked all, and I have no idea where I got that idea at all.
I have heard the same thing. And okay. I actually don't know if that's true.
I don't know. I don't think it is. I looked before, you know, like last week or whenever, when I was thinking about what to talk about here with you, but I didn't find that anywhere. I did find how, and you know, so I heard that a long time ago. So as a woman, a heterosexual woman, I look at bald men and I'm like, he has a lot of testosterone, right? So, it worked, right? So whatever, I was not.
Right, you assumed that thing must be true and you went with it.
Yeah. Bonus, jackpot.
Well, and I know men that are, you know, getting hair implants and trying to stay youthful, but they're coloring their hair, you know, and men in general, I would say in our society, have more permission to lose their hair and still be considered attractive. Thinning, graying, losing hair and still, you know, it's different when you're a woman.
I agree. And why is that?
The patriarchy.
Yeah, right.
Right. I don't know. I think it's societal pressures that we've all subscribed to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, hair matters, I think, to both men and women. So how about chest hair? Let's move down.
Are we done with head hair?
I don't know. What else do you have to say about it?
Well, I don't know. What about women and head hair?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I said women's hair thins too. I also think that there's an expectation that women are more feminine when they have longer hair.
Yeah, that's the part that I wanted to talk
about. Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I think we can't talk about any of this without really understanding that we are all products of acculturation. Mm-hmm. And whatever is put in front of us, Kardashians, right? Mm-hmm. We are going to, in some way or another, use that as the standard of beauty. And, you know, I think a lot of marketing tells us to have long hair to be beautiful. And when you have long hair, you probably use more products, you have to color it more, you know, and it just feeds into the machine perfectly. Kind of like body image and all those other pieces. So, mm-hmm. You know, and I'd be lying if I said that I don't automatically have those same, you know, ideas. But when I challenge myself, then hopefully I can evolve a little bit more, that hair doesn't have anything to do with anybody's, you know, attractiveness necessarily. That's my perception.
Well, I will admit that during COVID, I thought now might be the time to like stop coloring my hair. Mm-hmm. And I tried. I didn't have to try that hard because it was actually work to try to color your hair during COVID. Okay. And I let my hair go for, you know, 6 or 8 weeks or something. And I was like, oh no, nope, not ready.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I felt like it aged me tremendously. And I just, it did affect me. And I was like, no. So, right. You know, I see these women with this beautiful, silvery hair and I think, wow, good for them. But you know, it's a little touch and go if it's right for me.
That's right. Yep. It's that, battle between age versus beauty.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And can aging equal beauty too? You know, we see that standard. Yeah.
Please. Yes, please. I think we have to be, you know, on that bandwagon more and more these days. It's just, I feel like aging, and maybe because I am aging, I feel like that's really squeezed out of that idea of beauty,
mm-hmm.
which is terribly sad.
Also, too, it's interesting. Like when I go to Europe, I notice that a lot more women have shorter hair.
Mm-hmm.
And they look fabulous,
mm-hmm.
right? It's different. It is a cultural piece of like that's normalized in that culture. And I am reminded that it's so un-American and yet it's just what we're used to seeing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else on head hair that you want to?
Not yet. Not yet. I may circle
okay,
back.
we can always circle back. I mean, there is the man bun. You know, there is the men with the long hair, which is
Yeah.
sort of the flip of the women with the short hair.
That's exactly right.
I kind of like the man bun. I think it's cute.
Yeah. I mean, men with long hair, it throws me sometimes, especially from behind.
Fair.
But I love that they have just as much right to do whatever they want with their hair. And, you know, coming on over to the long hair side is, I think, brave. And yeah, I love it when people go against the grain, like go against the beauty norm.
Yeah. And there's some gorgeous long haired, like, men with these fabulous, like, you know, beautiful, healthy curls. I'm like, wow.
Yep.
So I've asked a few friends how they feel about men's chest hair. I don't really think, for the most part, women have chest hair. So let's go to men. Men's chest hair. And, you know, do they like it? Do they, what meaning do they make of it? Some men can't even grow hair, but some men obviously do.
Right.
The consensus I heard from most of my girlfriends was that they really like it. They find it to be masculine.
Okay. Okay, all I picture is the uptick in sales of those body hair shavers. And the more male bodies I see, the more actually are closely groomed and they do shave their chests, etc. I don't know how I feel about it. I mean, I feel like that they probably are prescribing to the male-ish cultural norm of beauty where you have to be shiny and muscular and, you know, really clean and slippery or whatever adjectives we want to use and
all right.
Part of that norm.
Yeah, well, certainly in the gay male community.
Yeah.
They definitely, I mean, the bears are a different category, but for the most part, the gay men that I've worked with, you know, have, do, you know, subscribe to that whole idea of less body hair and beauty and, you know, shininess. Yeah. But I don't know. I, you know, I was talking to my producer, Caroline, about it. And she was like, I really like it when men have some chest hair. Like, it just, it feels, you know, it feels cozy. And yeah, she was a thumbs up on it.
Yeah. So. Resonates as masculine.
However, the flip side of that is back hair. So Caroline gave a thumbs up to chest hair and a thumbs down to back hair.
Yeah.
Which seems like what? It's literally like just
6 inches
seconds
away.
Apart. You know, like yes, no, right? That's the arbitrary, like,
yeah,
choosing of these things in our culture.
Right. Well, and it's interesting too, because if we think back to the beginning of humans-ish, we were all really hairy. And
right.
One of the pieces that I read, which was really interesting, and this theory actually is now, it's several different sources, so I think I can almost believe it, where when we all were hairier by nature, we had terrible issues with pests and mites. And so through evolution, the people who had less hair all over their bodies were then perceived as cleaner, healthier, more desirable. So all of a sudden they started being recognized in a hierarchy in their social strata as being higher up. And so when I'm thinking about all of this, I do think about how hairy we were all of us, male and female, from the beginning. And then how through evolution, our body hair, you know, we lost a lot of it, not all of it. And it was also perceived as more desirable to not have as much body hair. So we're still kind of following suit.
Yeah, well, and it's the, I mean, hair serves a function. I would imagine it serves probably both a heating and a cooling function.
It does.
Right? So yeah. it's warmth. I mean, we know this from having, like, I know in the winter when I'm, you know, going out skiing, and if I put just my helmet over my hair is so much warmer than when it's pulled back.
Yeah.
Right? So having that body extra warmth helps. And then also I would imagine it guards a bit from overheating. You know, there's probably some cooling function too.
Yeah.
And yet in maybe climate related, that's the adaptation as the evolution happens.
That's right. Yeah. So you'll see in different parts of the world, different norms of body hair based on evolution for hot or cold.
I also remember being really surprised when I was starting to see men come into the waxing salons. You know, in LA and then even in Santa Barbara, right? Like seeing men go in there and you're like, oh, okay. They're getting their, usually their back, I'm assuming, actually I shouldn't assume, but I was assuming it was their back waxed.
Yeah. And well, did you ever see the movie The 40-Year-Old Virgin?
I did not.
I don't know. There's a hysterical waxing scene in it, you know, so I think that kind of blew the cover on a lot of men because they do go in to get their chests waxed and, well, everything waxed, honestly. Yeah, same as us. So, what, you know, interesting though, the piece about evolution and body hair and more and less is one of those theories also stated that when, you know, we all of us do still have underarm hair. We'll talk about that in a minute. Chest hair, pubic hair. And some of the suppositions are that that helps disperse odor. And it's the odor that have, that has all of the, you know, attraction chemicals in it.
Yeah.
Some people love the smell of BO like crazy. Others don't. We could have a whole other podcast on how we our smells, right? But they actually do serve a purpose in reproduction, which is what human beings basically primally are all about anyway.
Right. That totally makes sense in terms of, you mentioned underarms, and you know, some women still choose not to, are choosing not to shave anymore.
Yeah.
Men typically don't, but yeah, the managing the sweating, managing the, you know, the odor, like, and what are you putting out in terms of, in terms of pheromones and what's it signaling, unconsciously to those around you, to partners. And how do you feel about smell?
Yes, there's more and more conversation to have, I think, about body hair than just like the hair itself. It really is all about the meta messaging that goes with it as well. You know, how do I feel about myself? How comfortable am I? How much do I want to buck the system? How much do I not care? How much do I care?
Do you remember that picture where like Julia Roberts was like at an award show, and you know, she lifted her arm and you could see, you know, that there was hair under her arms, and it was like, whoa.
Oh, what? I didn't see that. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. It's old, but yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, oh, of course, my immediate thing is feminist, right? Oh, she must be a feminist. But I'm imagining there's lots of reasons why women would choose to go more natural.
Right.
The default being that there's hair under there, and it doesn't need to be disturbed. Yeah. You know what else we forgot about?
Facial hair.
Yeah. Right. Well, while we were up here, we didn't do the face.
Right.
I've seen huge swings and trends with facial hair. If I think about specifically with men, you know, when they go, like, for example, every year, my dad always had a mustache, but during the winter, he'd always grow a full beard. More to keep himself warm because we live in a very cold place.
Yeah.
But I definitely see that where there'll be trends, you know, the lumbersexuals where they come and they get all that like manly hair, and it's just,
absolutely.
And I've seen some men, it'll grow all the way up to here. It's crazy. You know, it's like it takes over their whole face.
Yeah.
And some are very highly groomed with, you know, fun mustache shapes and all that.
Right. I think it's interesting. I think that what I'm noticing is men are manscaping. They're really having fun with the hair on their faces and shaving it, letting it grow back, doing a big old handlebar mustache if they can. I really love that they have found another place for expression because, you know, women or people with long hair can change their styles, like putting it up, putting some up, some down, whatever that is. And men can't really do a whole lot with their short haircut. So I think it's expression on the face. I love that part of it.
And I've heard mixed reviews about how that feels, you know, either with kissing or with oral, receiving oral sex from a man that has a big, you know, bunch of hair on his face. It can be tickly. It can be rough if the stubble's there. Like some folks like it, some folks don't.
Right. And I think it really depends also, I mean, at least for me, just the texture of the hair. Some of the hair, even some of my hair on my body is different, you know, where some soft, some is prickly, you know, some is more coarse than others. And I think that that all depends on just the nature of the person growing the hair.
Yeah, and also men can groom to have their beards be softer, depending on how they're doing that. And, you know, do they weigh in with their partner? What is their partner like or want, or is that a factor in it? And I will say some women also start getting a little bearded as they age. Right? That's a reality. You can grow a slight little like mustache or, you know, chin hair as the aging happens, want it or not.
Yes. Well, I know many women actually who shave their faces every day.
Wow.
Yeah, literally shave their faces. Part of that is the beauty trend where you must be flawless and dewy. And it's hard to do that if you have the requisite, you know, facial hair that we all have as humans. So that goes all the way up to the forehead.
Well, so now that you say that, actually, when I've gone in for facials, my facialist does this thing where she, I don't remember what it's called.
Microblade.
Okay. Yeah. That's what it's called. So she's in essence taking all the hair off my face, all the peach fuzz, all of it.
That's right. Yeah.
And it does feel so strange afterwards. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's very shiny. Lots of shininess, because you realize there's no hair to absorb any of the oil. So your face is like really shiny.
That's right. Yeah. That's the whole point. It's one of the things these days.
Mm-hmm.
Men are getting hairier and women are shaving their faces. What the right.
Which sounds easier? Which sounds easier? I mean,
going on.
Okay, so I will admit that, gosh, probably about 20, 25 years ago, I started shaving my arms.
Mm-hmm.
I shave my arms. I had little fur, like it was light, but I didn't like it. And I looked down and I always was like, I don't like it. And so somebody said, why do you shave it? And it didn't even occur to me as an option until someone said it sort of like, of course. And I was like, oh, okay. So I started shaving my arms and I've just never stopped. I shave my arms, I shave my legs. It's just sort of like part of the routine. And it's, you know, it's not something probably anyone would notice, but I noticed it and I just sort of had a preference.
What about having the hair on your arms? What was distasteful about that?
You know, I felt self-conscious about it. Like, like it actually, I don't know. It just, I looked at it and I judged it. I didn't like the furriness of it. I felt like it was too thick.
Yeah.
And so that was a calculation I made literally like 25 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And, I was probably comparing myself to other women and I just decided I didn't like it. And so it's just sort of been my default ever since.
Right.
And I've never really revisited it to think about it as anything different, you know?
Yeah, well, my mom and dad, God bless them, they are hairy folk. And my sister and I were just doomed from the beginning. You know, we are hairy too, just by nature. And just really kind of doing a calculation. I think that's a great word of what parts we feel like it's acceptable to have a little bit of hair on, what parts is not acceptable. And I know for a fact in my growing up and maturing, comments from people have been what instigated my awareness. So, you know, wow, look at all the hair on your arms, when, you know, it's like normal hair. I know this now, but, you know, or whatever people would say. And then I remember that being a pressure to feel like I needed to look a different way in order to be accepted or attractive. So it comes from all angles, right? Even something that I'll acknowledge is just like so natural. Like I could, there's no way around the amount of hair I was born with. You know, I mean, that's what it boils down to. We don't get more hair as we grow older. We're born with it. It just changes texture, thickness, length, all of that.
I've definitely got new hair on my chin that I did not have before I was 45.
Perhaps it was just that little bit of, it's called vellus hair, you know, it's like the peach fuzz, but because of hormones and growing older, it does change texture and length.
Well, I think it's a Neanderthal leftover like piece of my history. Because it does, mine comes in red. And I will tell you, my dad's hair is dark, dark brown, but his mustache and his beard are red.
That's so recessive, right? Yeah.
That's the Neanderthals, you know, what we say in my family.
That's really funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Have you ever talked about any of this with anybody that you were dating? Like, in terms of, how do you feel about hair? Or I don't like your hair. Would you, like, even if it's like, wear your hair short or longer, like any of the hair conversations, have those happened in your history that you can remember?
I think mine is more like, sorry, I didn't shave today. That's kind of like, as much as you're just going to have to bear with me, you know, and if you have a problem, do that. But I do understand that I'm aware of like having pokey legs or, you know, bikini area, what have you. And I think that we haven't gotten down to pubic hair yet, but I definitely feel that conversations about pubic hair have happened with my sexual partners, you know, their preferences and requests or just blatant acceptance of whatever's going on, you know, the whole spectrum. So I would say I've had more conversations about that than other parts of my hair.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
I have had several partners say, don't cut your hair. They like, they like my longer hair.
I also think too, well, it's interesting when you say that, because I also realize that there is a sort of a bias that like longer hair looks younger. So I've noticed that there's definitely some women that cut their hair, they cut their hair with a transition, meaning like, you know, they broke up with somebody or they moved out of home or whatever, some big thing happened in their life. And I noticed they'll cut their hair. And also the idea that really long hair sometimes reads younger, which is intentional. So I know lots of women in our community get extensions. Or as women age, they tend to go shorter and shorter. And that's a function of like, you know, hair color is hard on the hair. And so the hair gets shorter. And yet, you know, there's this youthful thing that many women seek. So that just kind of
that
occurred
circles
to me too.
Back. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's all connected.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So let's now that we've done a little bit of foreplay, let's transition into the juicy topic of pubic hair. Now, knowing we were going to have this discussion, I did some field research, I did talk
Okay.
to I talked to my waxer, and
Okay.
then who is adorable and looks exactly like Barbie, and she's probably 23 and she's the cutest thing ever. So, you know, sample size is quite small in this. And then I reached out to three different gynecologists, one in Georgia and two in California, to ask sort of what their experience had been with their female patients of all ages
Interesting.
in the waxing front or trimming or grooming or whatever. All of them agreed that there is a correlative that is basically under 40 definitely tends to do some grooming.
Yeah.
And the younger set tend to do even more than as you go up. After above 40, it's a little bit of a wild card in terms of what you're going to get, if
Right.
there's any, and to what degree. Does that surprise you?
No. I mean, the polling I'm doing right now in my mind is simply my friend group. It's a really small sample size. I feel like there is an awareness, you know, women in their 50s, and maybe it's Santa Barbara. You know, we are a beach community. I think there's very much that possibility you could get into a bathing suit at any given moment, you know,
It's
kind
true.
of, you gotta be ready to go. But I feel like majority of the women I know in one way or another still are pretty conscious about, you know, at least shaving their pubic hair. I don't know how much. I don't think there's any bedazzling going on in my 50-year-old group, but certainly there are in the younger people.
Yeah, I think also it's influenced for me by living in LA for 20 years, because,
yeah,
you know, my 20s and my 30s were in LA, and
yeah,
everybody I knew definitely groomed heavily. And I think that California in general is more beauty conscious and is more attentive to all kinds of different appearance based
yeah.
decisions. And yeah, so all three gynecologists, it's funny because they got back to me immediately and their answers were like exactly the same, which is yes. Like, and I would say, I think they basically said that women under 40, for the most part, are either doing all of it or a very small, like, landing strip type situation.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because, again, I had this conversation with a younger person in my life who I will not name, but they admitted that when they were younger, they decided to laser it. And their mother said, please, please, please don't take it all. Like, you might change your mind later and there's no going back.
Yeah.
You know? So it was like, hey, you know, it's like getting a tattoo. You know, piercings are different because they'll close up, but tattoos are, they're going to be there.
Right.
You know, if you lasering everything, like, you know, trends change, you might change, and you can't anticipate those changes down the road. So, you know, trying to alter your look forever, like, if you had to pick one haircut for the rest of your life, that'd probably be pretty hard.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you've got this cute little vagina when you're, you know, 18. I'm sorry to break the news, but vaginas, you know, kind of change over time, and you may not want the whole thing exposed at some point, you know, like, what, do we have to show everything? I don't know. But we
Yeah,
don't
it's
want to
like,
hear that when we're 20. That's not a
nope,
aging is
nope.
a thing. Yeah.
Yeah, like the youth are completely blind to, you know, all the privilege of beauty and youth.
I know. I love them for that. And
They'll get there.
I hate them a little.
So yeah, it's interesting because I'm just thinking about the movie Barbie for some reason, but like, just the feminism component of it. And again, as women, that messaging that got introduced so early about containment and how it goes in through the door of clean, but really it's about containment. It's about being coiffed, being approachable, being acceptable.
I, you know, and I feel like it's about being a sexual object. You know, that we are to be at any given moment ready to be received, right? And to be sexual.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are so much messaging about you need to look like you're sexual all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I really do think that's reflected in the beauty norms that are there now. Well, that probably have already always been there. But yeah, I think that so much of this, what we're talking about, comes from that position again of, you know, needing to be this sexual reproducer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And to look good and to, yeah, to be an object of desire.
To look good, smell good, feel good. Mm-hmm. You know, like females have to definitely be different than males for many people, you know, and don't be having hair like men if you're a woman, and don't be, mm-hmm. you know, slippery if you're a man. It's still kind of gendered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Except the slippery chest, we like that, right? That's sometimes expected, accepted.
Wait, on not. Men or women?
Men.
Oh.
Yes. Right? You said don't be slippery as a man. Don't be, you know, it's I know, right? It's confusing to navigate.
Yeah.
And
I don't need a slippery chest.
Right.
I mean, for me, well, and for my partner, I don't need to have a slippery chest for him. Yeah.
Well, and also, like you mentioned, smell, and that definitely comes up, like when I was doing my dissertation research about women's, you know, sex therapy with women.
Yeah.
Odor was a big factor of self-consciousness. And there was this wonderful woman I actually interviewed for a different podcast, and she has vulva castings. She does these mm-hmm. vulva castings across Europe. I wish she would come here. But you have to completely shave to do it so that you can get a good mold. But it's these molds that get cast of the vulva. And the range is so dramatic. It's pretty cool to see all the different sizes and shapes of women's bodies. And so empowering to see the variation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting because hair factors into that. You know, yeah. Hair affects the overall look, just like hair on our head does, hair down there does too.
Right.
And factors in terms of how you feel about yourself, how you show up in the relationship, maybe how your partner responds to you, which also might be a byproduct of how much comfort and confidence you project.
I completely agree. And I bet you and I could talk, you know, a lot about stuff that goes on in sessions, you know, working with couples in particular, and what kinds of conversations do they have with each other around this topic, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I've had many, many clients where one of them is a highly sensitive person,
mm-hmm.
or has some OCD, and body hair mm-hmm. can be a really big problem, own and their partners. And so there's some negotiating and some language building that has to happen in that realm.
Yeah, especially if they get tied into body hair and hygiene.
Yes.
You know, if they link those two, then it can feel very like unsettling for the OCD folks to have the body hair present. And is that clean? And is that,
yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't like the itchiness or the prickliness or the whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Problematic. Yeah.
Cause grooming requires some commitment to upkeep. Yeah. To do it on a regular basis.
Yes,
it does.
Darn it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the interesting part is that for years, I didn't hear this comment from women, but I definitely have now, I would say in the last maybe 5 years, 10 years, is about wanting their male partners, or I should say men. Men haven't made this comment, although I do see some gay men. But I think in my experience, for the most part, gay men do groom pretty consistently. But females coming in saying they want their male partners groomed.
Yeah.
Down there. Yeah. Historically, it was more women monitoring themselves, but now it's women having preferences about their male partners grooming as well.
Yeah, that's right. Make it all neat and tidy.
Mm-hmm. And can that be something that is done in partnership? Is that something that is just sort of signaling and you're hoping you're getting it right? Like, could you actually have a conversation? Maybe the partner doesn't even care. Who knows, right? And if you don't have the conversation, like many other things.
Yes. Yeah. And right. It's funny that hair becomes part of the intimate world. Right? Not all hair. I mean, hair on our head is not really part of the intimate world, but you start moving south and it start, you know, we might start calling it different names even, or, you know, it's just like, how do we don't even talk about it. And it's right there engaged in most of the sexual things that happen with us, ourselves and our partners.
Yeah. And I think having a flexibility around it, a curiosity around it, like much of relational issues, is going to go better, because there isn't a right and wrong, right? Yeah. There's what nature gave you. And then there's also what you've chosen to do with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like anymore, I mean, he's going to kill me for saying this, but my son and I were watching, he's 18. And we were watching a movie where the main character is this stunningly beautiful young woman. And, you know, he was definitely paying attention to the scene she was in. And she like raised her arm over her head for one thing. And she had a full on, you know, mass of hair under her arms. And his reaction was hysterical, because he was just like, ooey gooey. And then he's like, his face was priceless. He was so confused by the feelings he had inside. He's like, what the hell? Like, why doesn't she shave that? And so he and I were able to have this really interesting conversation where at the end, he was appreciating how natural it was, because she was not, you know, it was not this era. And that's kind of how it was. And that's how we're all born. And that's what we would all look like mostly if we didn't spend so much time shaving. And he definitely buys into manscaping head to toe, right? Most people his generation are doing that actively, I would say. Yeah, but really interesting just to watch younger people also try to grasp this concept of hair and how it can feel different seeing it under the arms or coming out of a bikini or underwear, right? And that feels really different inside than seeing somebody with different hairstyles on their head. And what is that about? It's an expression of ourselves, our sexuality, sometimes our gender, sometimes our preferences, all of that. And it's just hair.
Right. It's not like it was planted there. It's like, no, that's just what it is.
Hair's not asking to be complicated. Hair's just showing up and growing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We make it complicated.
Oh, when you say that, it's so funny, because again, it reminds me of being in like, you know, on a European beach and seeing men in those tiny little Speedos with all their junk very, very clearly visible. And lots and lots of hair all around their thighs and everything, right? It's like
front and back.
It's a little alarming.
Yeah, you know, coming I feel from like just saying take the Speedo off. You know, I mean, you're bursting out of it anyway. No one wants to see that. Just let it go.
Who are you kidding here? We know exactly what's under.
I see
under
that. I'm not blind.
Oh my gosh. And the meaning we assign to that, you know?
Yeah.
Our culture is so, it's weird, because as a culture, I find that we are so preoccupied with beauty and with sex, and yet we're just so repressed at the same time. Swimsuits are just one example. Like American men's swimsuits don't look like any other swimsuits in the world, you know?
They still look really, what do I want to say? Kind
like
of
old fashioned.
Victorian. They're still dressed, you know, and meanwhile women are like just practically pasties and, you know, dental floss. I don't know what to say, and that's a bathing suit.
Yeah, it's true. And it's so I'm hoping that this gets listeners to kind of just have some curiosity around their own assumptions of what's normal and what's acceptable in themselves and maybe in their partner.
That's right. And really thinking of it not, you know, not just from an evolutionary standpoint and really welcoming the kind of organic nature of our hair, but also kind of pushing back in a comfortable way or uncomfortable way against the beauty norms. Let's just keep asking why, you know, like instead of just, okay, yes, let's ask why. How does that make me feel? What are the implications to making those choices? And I know it's just, but it's also, we've also settled that that's how we express ourselves in a large part.
Well, and I remember too, like in my 20s, well, in my teens and 20s, and, you know, starting to shave and then realizing, oh, it's torturous. Like some people, I'm sure men have this too, but when they're shaving their face, just it's really itchy and bumpy and it doesn't go well. And so, you know, I switched over to waxing and painful, but efficient. And then eventually for my bikini, I went to laser. Painful, but efficient.
Yeah.
Expensive, time consuming. But, you know, it was a good option. And not everybody does that. But it's, you know, it's a calculation that we're making about what do we value. How much attention are we paying to this? How much, you know, yeah, there's the creative output, but there's also just the logistical feasibility. Yeah.
That's right.
And we didn't even talk about, I also get my eyebrows waxed. I also get my lip waxed.
Yeah, right.
Yep. For a brief period, I did that threading. Ooh. Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't. It just, it like, why isn't waxing faster?
It's supposed to not pull the skin in the same way. So down the road, it doesn't show, you don't get the same in terms of like lines and wrinkles and that type of thing. But boy, it's done in an instant. There's no wax pulling, you know, but it's, oh man, it's painful. But it's an alternative that, yeah, there's also sugaring. Oh, my waxer was telling me about sugaring. I have not tried that. But that's another.
You kind of just roll the hair off, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so funny, the stuff we will endure in terms of, you know, having smooth skin or not having crazy eyebrows or whatever that is. It's really amazing what we'll go through and what we will pay, which is another, that circles back to the beauty industry also and all the marketing, you know, really making these unnatural markers of beauty, such as perfect eyebrows. You know, some people just have eyebrows that look perfect. Others don't. Most don't, I would probably venture to say. And imagine how much money people, especially in America, spend on making their eyebrows look different.
Well, yeah, because there's the excessive plucking, waxing, shaping that happens earlier in life, and then there's the penciling in, and sometimes even the tattooing on to create them as aging happens, right? So again, it's framing the face. It's the idea of, you know, these things matter, and this is a, I don't know how many men do that, but I definitely know quite a few women that have done that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed, just being honest, and I'm better about this now, but I had a bias against men getting their hair colored or, you know, getting any kind of facial treatments or stuff like that. That's like not your realm, guy. But now I've definitely changed my mind about all that.
Yeah.
Humans have rights in that department, but it took me a little while to get there. So I must have really taken on some sort of binary belief about that.
Yeah, I think more and more men are doing that type of self-care as well. Every time I'm getting my nails done at the nail place, there's always one or two guys in there that are getting a pedicure. I'm like, good for you, you know, keeping all your stuff clean and trim, and you know, they don't have like snaggle puss toenails and stuff. That's good. Their partner probably appreciates it. So we did not talk about shaving our legs.
No, we didn't talk
So,
about scrotums, testicles. We didn't talk about backsides there. We could talk about those, or we could
Okay.
straight to legs.
Okay, let's move down the body. So let's stay with the pelvis, and then we'll go further south to the legs.
Region. Yes.
Yeah. So the shaving, the trimming, I actually heard an ad recently that was so funny. Oh gosh, I can't remember who it was by, but it was for a device for men to be able to trim their scrotum, without, slicing and dicing, And I was like, oh, God, that's good. That makes sense. What was it? I can't remember. I'll
I
put it
need
in the comment when I find
Yeah.
it. But in terms of, yeah, I think more and more, does it add sensitivity? Does it just look cleaner? Does it, is there a function, or is it just more for fashion?
I think that is a really great question. We could apply it across the board. I think it's probably all of the above. I mean, I'm sure we don't want to get into the porn realm too much because we are just talking about body hair. I think it's safe to say that large majority of the population looks at porn in some way or another, and I really do believe that that has become a standard also for how we perceive ourselves sexually, how we think we need to look and perform and blah blah blah, all of that.
Definitely.
And on both sides, unless you specifically choose it, you're not going to be seeing a lot of hair.
And also, body-to-body contact feels different with and without hair. Right? We've talked about a little bit of the element of having like the pokiness, but also just the friction.
Right.
There's a lot of sensitivity that happens when there's no hair. I mean, I think each one feels different. Having a trim versus having bare, both feels different. Also, just to be practical here, on the women's side of things, I will say that hair has a function of guiding, and when you pee without the hair, it splatters everywhere. So it's like, I mean, come on. I was like, wait, what? I didn't expect that. When I got waxed, I was like, oh no. I don't know if any other women have experienced that, but a side detail.
It could
Hair is
also
part of
be
it. Yeah,
anatomical.
it serves a wicking function,
Yeah.
for sweat, but it also, and protection, I guess, to your point, there is probably a protection, in terms of things going in and out, disease, whatever, but also just, yeah, there's a practicality of how it sensory feels changes. Yeah. So the backside. Trying to decide if there's, I mean, again, it definitely there's a sensory component to it. I know most women that are waxing their front are also waxing their backside, and I'm sure plenty of men, probably gay men, are waxing their backside. I will say, logistically, it doesn't hurt the same to have your backside waxed as your front side.
True.
It's just got stronger skin. But visually, it looks cleaner, but does it actually serve any real function? I would say no.
I would say no also.
Yeah.
I mean, we're
So
supposed
it's
to
really about preference.
That's kind of what I think. Our bodies know what to do, and we have hair in the places we have hair because we're supposed to. So, whenever we go in and want to change it, that's all perception.
Right, you're disrupting the ecosystem, and there may be consequences.
Precisely. You just think you can have a smooth butt, but you could be like messing something up, probably.
Right. So be ready for the fallout.
Literally. Ew.
Guys. What else? Yeah, from a function standpoint, I don't think it really makes a difference. Might be cleaner, you know, if you're having, if you're doing anal play, it's likely to be cleaner. It's easier to wash going in.
Easier to wipe if you're
Easy.
all squeaky clean.
True. True. Yeah. I think it's interesting too how culturally, I'm guessing that some straight men listening to this are going to be like, ew, guys wax their backside. What? But why is that any different than you shaving your face, right? It's a choice to remove hair from a part of your body. It's all just like, you know, it's what we assign to it. It's not like it's inherently good or bad, or it just is.
I agree. We are in agreement.
So I remember the first time I tried to shave my legs. Ugh, I pushed too hard and I dug into my shin.
Ouch, you just gave me chills.
Ugh. Right? And it was that whole little like wrinkled skin that went all the way up as I shaved my entire shin skin off. Oh, it was awful. And then it just started gushing blood. And I was like, okay, note to self, don't push so hard.
Yeah, I
Ugh.
need to shave with an electric shaver first, like training wheels, and then I got brave enough to shave my legs in the bath. And yeah, but now I don't shave my legs in the bath ever because I don't like being in the water with hair. I mean, I just had to draw the line somewhere.
Well, and also, I feel like when I was younger, I was adamant about shaving. I'd shave like every other day, my entire leg. And then I think once I hit 40, I only shave below the knee. You know, it's just like, top's
Yeah.
okay. You know, but why? I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know it. Yeah, it has come and gone, the acceptability of hairy thighs. But just for me, referencing my parents and what I did from them, that's never been an option for me unless I want to look half dude, you know, which I don't. But I'm not a dude.
Well, I also remember recognizing that much like I never had a mirror where I could see the back of my hair, I rarely looked at the back of my thighs. So the whole front looked all good, and the back was completely neglected. And
You were back, dude. Dude in the back.
like the back of my hair, I never had any idea what it looked like until I saw somebody had a mirror hooked up. I was like, oh, wow. Never knew that was there. But yeah, the back of my thighs, same thing. They were so hairy. And it makes sense, right? But I just couldn't see it. So I kind of neglected it. And yeah, I realized there's definitely hair back there. Yeah. If you're gonna be complete, if you're gonna wear a shorter shorts or a skirt, you might want to consider, you know, making it even.
I was a massage therapist for years and years and years, and
Oh, yeah.
you know. You see a lot of bodies, first of all, and
Yeah.
you can just pick whatever theme you want to just like observe for the day. But also, shaving and hair was just almost as unique as every person who was on the table. Everybody just had their own form, their own expression, their own preferences. I could see. I never talked about it because that would be weird. I just was observing it. Oh, I know.
Sure.
Shave your thighs, you know, they'd be like, ew. But
I
yeah.
remember apologizing to my massage therapist when I was on a trip and I went to a spa and I said, it was like a fancy spa and I felt kind of like rugged in there and I said, I'm sorry, I haven't shaved my legs. And she's laughed and she said, you know, I massage men, right? And I was like, oh, right. Man, they have lots of hair on their legs, right? She's like, it doesn't even compare, even with, you know, a little prickly, it doesn't even begin to compare to what men
Got that a lot
have.
too.
And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. It's all just sort of this microcosm of like calculations I think we do in our head, comparison,
Yes.
sort of like what's right. Am I fitting in? Am I gross? Am I hot? Like,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, all really worthwhile spending time thinking quietly to ourselves about all of that. We can learn a lot about ourselves just even thinking about how we view our bodies with hair on them, bodies without hair on them, our partners, friends.
Right, because it's also just it's a snapshot, it's like a vignette of probably how we talk to ourselves about a lot of other things having to do with appearance and presentation. And I've heard little glimpses of this conversation, but I've actually never had the full body conversation with anybody before.
I haven't either.
And it's funny, like all these little, these little moments of like, oh yeah, that's true. I remember as a kid, one of my jobs became to trim my dad's ear hair. Like he
Oh.
had these little whiskers that would come out of his ear.
Yeah.
And I was like, I had these little barber scissors and I had to like trim his ear hair. I'm like, I mean, I guess it's a thing. And that was not a job my mother wanted. So that
Yeah.
became mine,
Yeah. Well, now they've got handy dandy little pieces of equipment for that. So, daughter has to be subjected to that ever again.
It's like the awareness and the caring, like, I've certainly been places where, usually pretty foreign places where I'll see women have clearly not gotten any of our, programming or marketing messages, and they look very, very different. And I'm like, oh, that's an option,
That's right. And sometimes I wonder, would we feel a sense of relief and freedom if we would just go au natural? Like what would that be like, if we were accepted by those around us and all of that, if we didn't have to battle through that, but just taking that stand and just going natural, what would that be like? My water bill would be less, probably.
True. I love that in concept. Like, I wonder. As an aging woman, I already have noticed the invisibility factor that tends to happen. I feel like we as women become invisible as we get older. And I wonder too, if you read aging by not doing some of those cues, does that further, does that further sort of make you kind of over here in this category of like, okay, old woman, we don't
Yeah.
care about her.
Yeah. I mean, it's like kind of taking the exit off of the freeway in a way. You're just getting off the out of the fast lane in a way, because you have to run pretty fast to keep up with not aging. It's kind of this impossible thing.
Yep. Well, the alternative is worse.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for doing this crazy conversation with me. I hope it has been fun for you and useful for the listeners. And we would love to hear from you if you have ideas too. So write us here at Riviera Therapy and let us know your input. And thank you so much.
Dr. Jen.
And if you want to find Christy, she's at Riviera Therapy, and that's rivieratherapy.com is where you can find her. We'll also put her contact info in the comment section. So thanks so much.